Greetings, welcome to Recruitment in the Modern World. My name is Anthony Haynes. I'm Communications Director for FJ Wilson Talent Services. FJ Wilson is a recruitment and talent company. We specialise in professional roles at middle to senior level, and we provide services in terms of recruitment, talent development and coaching. This episode is focused very firmly and squarely on the process of recruitment. And I'm delighted to say we have two guests with us in the studio this week, one of whom particularly can give us the hirer, the employer's point of view, and the other one can give the candidate's point of view. So let me introduce our two guests. They're both from SIPS, who are a key stakeholder for FJ Wilson. Let me introduce, first of all, Louise Gulliver. Welcome, Louise.
Thanks, Anthony. Good to be here.
Thank you. And our other guest is Martin Gregg. Welcome, Martin.
Hello, Anthony. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's very good of you to join us, so thank you. So let me ask you, first of all, SIPS is very well known to people at FJ Wilson. Everyone in the company knows about SIPS. But could I ask you just briefly to tell us a bit about what SIPS is and what it does for those people who haven't worked with you or might not know you?
So I guess the starting point is, what does SIPS stand for? Mm. And that is that we are the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply. And I like to think about our purpose as a sensible start point, and that is really to inspire and power the procurement and supply profession so that they're able to go on and in turn transform supply chains and procurement practices to deliver an ethical and sustainable society. So really quite grand aims as an organisation. Mm. At a more practical level, we've got 60,000 members, or almost 65,000 members now, across 150 countries. We're headquartered in the UK, but we have offices in Australia, New Zealand, Africa, Middle East, mm-hmm. and in the USA. We provide anything from apprentice skills training, qualifications, membership services, and yep. crucially, we are what we like to refer to as the voice of the procurement and supply
yes.
profession.
Yes, no, I was thinking there must be many listeners who don't actually work specifically in procurement or the supply chain, but will be familiar with the SIPS name precisely for that reason, because of the way you voice the profession's concerns. So thank you. Now, the focus for this episode is specifically on communications, and it happens that all three of us have a communications background. So what I'd like to do is just introduce listeners to what our comms backgrounds are. Mine's very easily stated. I'm the communications director for FJ Wilson, and I'm also creative director of a company called Frontinus Limited, which is a communications consultancy focused on engineering and infrastructure. So that's my comms bit. Martin, could I turn to you? What's your comms background?
I suppose the shortest way of describing it, Anthony, is I'm a reformed journalist. I fell into journalism originally, all of my time spent in broadcasting in radio, worked for commercial radio, for independent radio and BBC,
right.
And then moved into comms about 10 years ago, worked for various agencies in the city before moving in-house over the last few years of my career. Mm,
interesting. And Louise, what about yourself? You have a comms background as well.
I do. And I guess if Martin's a reformed journalist, when I started my career in comms, I think I was a wannabe TV advertising madman kind of person. And in reality, that never happened. I went into B2B. And yeah, it's been a long and interesting career. So really started out in marketing, product marketing, moved more generally into marketing comms. I've done a few roles alternative to that in terms of progression. So I've been operations director. I was latterly managing director for a UK training organisation. And mm-hmm. at SIPS, my role is director of marketing and communications.
It's interesting you talk about working B2B, because most of my work is B2B. And I think that often has a sort of slightly grey, dull image to it. And actually, I think it's a location of great creativity. But Now, we thought it'd be useful to focus, rather than have a sort of very generalised discussion about the role of comms in recruitment, we thought it'd be useful to focus on a particular case. So the case that we chose was SIPs wishing to appoint someone to the role of head of external affairs, and with Louise as the hirer and hiring manager. And this is where Martin comes in, because Martin applied for the job. So, Louise, could you tell us a bit about what SIPs were actually looking for? What were you searching for? I'm glad to say you came to FJ Wilson to assist your search, but what were you looking for?
Absolutely. Well, we were looking for really for a seasoned communications professional. And in terms of the role, we have a clear job description and all of that good stuff. But the reality is, I was looking for somebody who could come in and really lead us to the next stage when it comes to external affairs, PR, policy, because we're in a really interesting position at the moment as an organisation, but also I think as a society, lots of things are changing. So we really wanted somebody who would come in and absolutely do all the right stuff that we would expect, but also to be able to drive the strategy, think a bit differently, and crucially align activities. So previously we were organised quite interestingly as a marketing and comms team, and in different parts of the organisation. Recently we've brought it all together under one directorate. Really somebody who would absolutely look after, be the custodian for SIPS's reputation, to ensure that we are promoting, advocating for procurement and supply professionals, encouraging procurement and supply as a brilliant career choice, plus lots more beside, but really sort of defining the strategy for the next era of comms at SIPS.
And centralising or bringing comms together like that, that makes it sound like a more of a strategic function when you do that. Would that be a fair comment?
Absolutely right. I think increasingly and thankfully the days are disappearing where marketing was sort of the end of the stream and comms were at the end of the stream. Increasingly, and I think probably the world of digital has helped this, data analytics, insight, comms is now being, and certainly at SIPS, is being seen as a really important strategic function.
Yeah, and I'm interested, I mean, organisations these days don't strictly have to use recruitment agencies because anyone can put information up on the internet, but I'm interested that you chose to use an agency for this role. So could I ask you what your general view is on business of using an agency?
Yeah, and I think you're right, Anthony, and increasingly we are encouraged to, you know, obviously consider the finances, try and reduce recruitment associated spend. But the reality is, for a role like this, and actually I was contemplating, do I need to go to a sort of PR comms sort of specialist type organisation?
Yeah.
But actually, I was definitely wanted to work with an agency. I have previous experience of working with FJ Wilson. I have found your organisation to be very good in terms of getting under the skin of the brief. And therefore, it was a bit of a no-brainer, really. And I should say, and I'm not being paid for this, I was pleasantly surprised with the number of candidates with really, really great experience that you were able to serve up to us. And of course, Martin was the cream of the crop.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That's extremely welcome. So the obvious question, Martin, is, but how's it look from your point of view? I mean, you're a candidate being approached by an agency. I guess you've had previous experience of recruitment agencies, probably one way or another. I don't know. How do you see that agency experience from a candidate's lens?
There are certainly good and bad agencies out there. But actually, just taking a step back from there, Anthony, because you said, you know, why use an agency? Because anybody can recruit online these days.
Yes.
From a candidate's perspective, I think the process of applying directly for a job advert is enormously frustrating. And from somebody who's also been on the other side of the fence doing the recruiting, is getting those unfiltered applications is massively frustrating and hugely time consuming.
Mm.
I think a lot of people like to describe themselves as people businesses. But I think, you know, of all of them, recruitment is a person business.
Yes.
You know, your job at an agency is to not only understand the brief inside out, but also have those connections to people who are going to be potential candidates. It's really about seeing the person and to see past the the box ticking exercise of this skill or that skill, but to understand the sort of holistic role and person and where that connection can work. And I think, you know, from my experience, and it was the first time I had come across FJ Wilson, I will add, is that I was really taken aback by the amount of time that the agency spent to work with me as an individual to make sure that I was successful or did what I could to give of my best and present myself in the best possible way. To the extent that I kept getting phone calls to say, have you done your homework yet? Ahead of my interview tasks. So it was a bit like having a nagging parent on the phone. But that's great.
Excellent. Know, yeah.
You know, turn up to an interview and you're not readily prepared, you're going to fail. So to have that support in the background, I found a really refreshing change.
And I'm fascinated that you say, you know, recruitment above all is about people, because Fiona Wilson, the managing director of FJ Wilson, and I, we frequently say to each other, this business is all about people, and yet it's amazing how many people seem to manage to forget that really basic fact. What about the communication that got, I mean, obviously there's huge amounts of communication going on, even within just appointing for one role. But what sort of processes or practice have you found tends to work in the recruitment process for you? Louise, perhaps I could turn to you first and then ask Martin.
I mean, I suppose looking at it from a recruiting manager's point of view, I think it's really important that beyond the job description, there is a process that involves conversations with the recruiting consultancy to get under the skin of the brief. And again, you know, asking questions that go beyond the JD, really trying to get under the skin of what it is you're trying to achieve, because sometimes the job description's fine, but it's the nuance that you can't necessarily put down on paper. So for me, that is really important, and had conversations with various people from your team to go through that, and they asked some great questions.
I mean, it's fascinating from our point of view how you read a job description and you think, okay, that tells us what we're looking for. And then we have the briefing meeting and stuff comes out in the briefing meeting that isn't on the job description at all. And you think, I think what they're really looking for is this kind of person. But it gradually emerges. Martin, what do you find makes for good communication here?
Actually, if I can just pick up on that point, Anthony, I think that's really interesting, because I think recruitment's a bit like buying a house in a way, that you can see all the particulars on paper, you can go online and you can see all the wonderful photographs. But we all know, having been in the position of buying a house, is that you can never actually know. You never get that feel of this is right until you actually see the person. And I think that also applies with job descriptions. And I don't mean to imply that companies are lazy, because again, I've been in Louise's shoes on the other side in being the hiring manager, but an awful lot of job descriptions are the kind of archived JD from the last time the role was recruited, or a JD for a similar role across the organization, and it's slightly adapted. And it's not only that job, I think, of really fleshing out the important details that are behind the sort of bullet points, but it's about understanding the person, I think, as well, because the person is the embodiment of the organization in that sort of initial interaction. And it's really that process of getting under the skin. And from a candidate perspective, I think it's 100% about the opportunity to really question the job description and to say, well, come on, you've had the conversation. You know, it says must have X, Y, and Z, but what is the balance really from the conversations you've had of this skill versus that skill? What's the really important thing that they're looking for? And having had that dialogue from both sides, that's where I think, you know, the agency hits the sweet spot of really being able to find those nuggets that are going to be able to, you know, move away from the square peg in the square hole process of recruitment and seeing where transferable skills or different backgrounds could work in different settings.
Yes, it's interesting. We've been reflecting on our processes and tweaking them. And one of the things we do now is when we take notes in a briefing meeting, we've put in an extra box for the person, our representative, to fill in at the end of the meeting, which is, what did you learn during a meeting that you didn't know from a job description? Because there's always some difference. And then we encourage the people who have been in the meeting with the employer, when they brief the search team, we say to them, you don't have to stick to what the employer told you. We actually want your own perceptions, like, what do you think they're really after? And that opens up some really fascinating spaces. Yes. What have we missed out? Is there anything else you'd like to pitch in terms of effective communication here?
I think for me also, there's a touching on a point that Martin made about the unfiltered sort of CVs if you go in alone. I think there's also the value of the refinement, but also the challenge. So I recall in the process for this role, there was another candidate who was super. I initially thought probably not enough experience in one area, but the confidence of the recruiter to come back and challenge me to say, well, no, actually, Louise, I really recommend you do see them because of X, Y, and Z. So there's that, again, that sort of team effort and not just accepting your customer's view on things. So the customer isn't always right. So I think the sort of the level of intelligence and confidence to be able to support there is really very valuable as well.
I think that's an interesting perception. And I see it from the other side, where I think the agency can really only do what you're asking them to do there if they really know their candidates. And if all they've done is have a cursory look at a CV and winged it your way, they won't be able to answer that question. They won't be able to add value, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If I can add one thing as well.
Yeah.
And we're all comms people here, so we'll probably all recognise this. But one thing that comms people are really bad at is writing about themselves. You know, we build a career about, you know, writing marketing plans or putting spin on this particular story or that particular story. But actually, when it comes to writing good things about ourselves, we probably aren't so good at that. And things that we think are important about our career highlights are actually not necessarily going to cut the mustard in the recruitment process. And I think the recruiter can play a really crucial role in giving advice about what you could dial up or dial down in terms of your background and how you present yourself, not just on your CV, but your personal statement as well.
Yes, definitely. And they should be helping with that statement. So they should be checking your statement against what their view of the employer wants is, and then going back and saying it's not very clear whether the candidate meets this requirement and so on. Perhaps we could try and distill this, because I am confident we could probably talk for hours about what makes for good communication in recruitment. But let's try and distill that. I mean, if I could put you on the spot and perhaps give us, you know, what your key takeaway. I mean, perhaps a takeaway is something that you should do or something that you shouldn't do, or one of each if you wish. I mean, let me ask you what your takeaway, Martin. Perhaps I could start with you this time. What would your gold medal message be?
Everything is a learning experience. We've all been to job interviews and thought we're going to be an absolute slam dunk for that role and haven't got it.
And
can't quite understand why. But everything is a valuable learning experience to take forward to the next opportunity.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And sometimes the reason you don't get it is because you show that you believe that you're a slam dunk choice, and that comes across as a lack of self awareness, perhaps, or modesty. But and what about you, Louise? What would be your take home message?
I think that, so if I in the candidate's role. One thing I do is I will always research, and distill that research and really, really think about the wider context of the organisation. And I think sometimes what happens in more senior roles is that people sort of start to forget the basics. And by that, I mean literally the basics. What does this organisation that I'm applying for do? And you'd be surprised at the amount of people that get into the higher level strategic conversations without understanding the stepping stones. So for me, it's kind of brilliant basics. Know what you're talking about. Do your research. And ask the questions, even if you feel a little exposed, because quite often those questions will be questions that the organisation you're going to are grappling with. So research, and ask great questions.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that, Louise. And I think actually in SIPS's case, the research is crucial, because SIPS actually went through a name change process several years ago. And being ex-BBC, I don't think I'm giving any secrets away. We had a sort of BBC-wide contacts database where potential guests were listed and the organisation was listed. And I can remember coming across SIPS as a journalist, and it was listed as the Chartered Institute of Purchasing and Supply, which it used to be known as. But of course, it then changed its name to the Chartered Institute of Procurement and Supply. So you would have looked a right old Charlie turning up for the interview, talked about the Institute of Purchasing and Supply. So, and actually, you're right. But on the question side as well, if you don't do the research, you often miss some of those really crucial questions, which are going to be absolutely fundamental to you as an individual in making your decision about, do I go through with this, and vice versa on the recruiter side, is that the right person? So without that research, you just don't ask the right questions.
Yeah, we've published a resource on our website about how to research employers, because we've just noticed, I mean, when I've been in, quite apart from working recruitment, when I've been interviewing someone to hire them, I've noticed the power of the well-researched candidate. Like when you can tell they've been doing their homework, you kind of think, oh, this person's serious. They really want the job. And also there's something even more powerful, which is you think, gosh, they can actually see themselves doing this job, can't they? They've actually thought themselves into the role.
Absolutely.
And just, Louise, just to come back on what you're saying about how some candidates turn up unprepared, our MD, Fiona, says one of the questions that often people stumble on is, so who do you think our main competitors are?
Absolutely.
Because often the website, the organisation's website, doesn't say that. You've actually got to know something about the context and a bit of rooting around.
And I think coming to an organisation like SIPS, as a candidate, it's quite hard to figure that out, because we provide a multitude of offerings to our members, and therefore our competitors are really broad and varied. Obviously, we don't have any because we're at the top of our game. But but it's a very good point. And actually, just going back to the nugget point, there's one thing that drives me utterly insane.
Right.
Errors in CVs, even if it is inconsistency with full stops. Now, this might be my background in comms, but if you can't get that document right, what trust and faith do I have in you that you're going to get documents and communications out for my organisation, which are absolutely meticulous and perfect? And you would be surprised at the errors in CV. Well, you probably wouldn't actually, but it's a bugbear, because it doesn't take a lot to get somebody else to check your work. I would add that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't come as a surprise, because I'm married to someone who works partly as a proofreader, and she's a fanatic about the difference between the hyphens, end dashes, and end dashes.
Yeah.
which most people get wrong, and I always think I hate it. It's so meticulous, but if you get them right, it does actually show something. My favourite is when people are writing something like, "I have a great eye for detail," and there's a typo in the phrase "great eye for detail."
But, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll just add my own takeaway. I would say the phrase no news is good news is not true in recruitment. In other words, one thing I've learned, because it doesn't come second nature to me at all, is when you're working with a client, you have to keep them informed, even if nothing's happened. We had one employer where we were working on a number of roles, and they were all in hand, and we actioned some of the roles more quickly than the others, and that's part of our plan, but we'd never told them that. And then they started getting twitchy and contacting us and saying, well, what about this role? You haven't told us anything about this. And actually, it was all in hand. But I thought, yeah, if I was in their shoes, I'd be wondering, how come I haven't heard anything yet? So actually just keeping in touch and saying, oh, by the way, you know, we've completed the search. It's going well. We think we're going to present a field to you. You know, just touching base is really important.
I think that's a really good point, Anthony, because there's a balance, isn't there? You know, you've got busy recruiting, hiring managers that have got lots of other things to do, and they've kind of entrusted you. But equally, on the other hand, you do need to know. And I think back to this role that Martin applied for. You know, that was, for me, was such a crucial role, and I was nervous about whether or not we were going to get the right breadth of candidates. So that sort of touching the tiller, a check-in on a Friday afternoon to say, you know, it's building nicely. We're lining up some great candidates. Was reassuring.
Yes, and you're absolutely right to use the word nervous. I know that, and I think recruiters need to, you know, they might be kind of assured it's all under control, but they need to recognise it's going back to Martin's Peter point about people, isn't it? It's empathising with the hirer. So, well, thank you. I mean, you've given us some fantastic insights, and really both from a candidate's point of view in both cases, and in both cases from a hirer's point of view. So I really welcome that. Very grateful for you to give up your time to appear on the podcast. And actually, I thoroughly enjoyed having a chance to discuss these issues with you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. Real pleasure.
This episode was produced by Dr. Bart Hallmark. Music is by Harry Chambers. And this podcast is published by FJ Wilson Talent Services. If you'd like to contact us about the services we provide, as I said earlier, we provide recruitment services, talent development services, and also coaching. You're welcome to do so, and we're very easy to find. Our website is fjwilson.com. That's fjwilson, all one word, .com. Do please get in touch. We'd love to talk to you. Thank you for listening. Bye for now. I hope you join us in the next episode.